Hillary Whittington is our next guest. She writes about how she and her husband Jeff helped their daughter Ryland transition into their son when he was 5. That was 3 years ago. She writes about it in her new book, Raising Ryland, Our Story of Parenting a Transgender Child with No Strings Attached. The family first got attention in 2014 when Ryland spoke at the Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast. The family later released a video of Ryland's life to YouTube that got over 7 million views. The video was originally made to help educate the school district about Ryland before he went to kindergarten. Again, the name of the book is Raising Ryland, Our Story of Parenting a Transgender Child with No Strings Attached, and we welcome Hillary Whittington to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me today.
All of this really began for you in, as far as telling the story when you posted a YouTube video, which was basically about your then 5-year-old son's transition from girl to boy. What went into the decision to tell that story and to put it online?
It was sort of a progression, actually. We made that video 1 year prior as a way to train the staff at my son's elementary school. And so we held on to the video for about a year, and we were actually afraid that it would get on the internet and go viral. But Ryland actually asked to show the video and asked to get up and do a speech at the LGBT Center. 1 year, it was a Transgender Day of Empowerment. So he asked the staff if he could play that video. And from there, some people in the crowd saw the video and wanted to give him an award at the Harvey Milk Breakfast, which at that time there would be 1,000 people in the audience. So it was sort of a progression. And once we had shown it to the audience at the Harvey Milk Breakfast, there was just a huge, response, and people really wanted us to share the video. So we thought, well, if we want to educate people and if we want to change things, then let's go for it. So it was a progression, actually.
You point out in the book that when your daughter was born, became deaf at the age of 1, needed cochlear implants, and then you and your husband worked very hard to get your daughter to speak. And then Ryland gains the power of speech, and it's at this time that Ryland is insisting that she is a boy.
Yeah, I mean, it was timing. The timing was very interesting because we found out Ryland was deaf around a year old, so Ryland didn't have, obviously, any communication at that point. We taught Ryland sign language. Ryland acquired sound around 2 years old. But Ryland still had to be taught what sounds were, where they were coming from, language. And so I worked really hard night and day to just give Ryland as much language as I possibly could. And it just so happens that this was all happening around 2 to 3 years old, that we were having, getting Ryland sound. And it's also at that time that we learn that children start to express their gender identity. So it was just coincidence, to be honest with you, that we had just got Ryland sound, and the moment that he had sound, he was able to start communicating to us what he was feeling. So it was pretty ironic.
So when he says that I am a boy, do you take that seriously right away, or do you have to, for want of a better term, investigate?
Absolutely investigate. We thought it was kind of cute at first. We thought it was funny, like maybe Ryland was just confused, or that this would be a phase. And it was this coupled with many, many other things over the years that just everything kept getting more intense, and Ryland's need to prove to us that he was a boy just, like I said, it just kept getting more and more strong. So, yeah, at first we thought it was cute and we thought it was just something silly that Ryland was confused about.
Once you make the decision that this is serious and then you take it seriously, what are the steps then? Because a lot of this, and you point this out in the book, a lot of this is uncharted territory, right?
Right, but what many people are confused about is that anything that we've done at this point can't be undone. So, we found out Ryland was transgender, and really the only things that we did to change things were that we changed pronouns. We referred to him, now as our son, not our daughter. We cut Ryland's hair. We allowed Ryland to wear the boys' clothes without a fight. and we changed Ryland's bedroom to that of a boy. And really, those are the only things that we've done at this point, and nothing that we've done so far can't be undone, for lack of a better term. So, yeah.
With those things changed, I understand your concern that nothing you've done can't be undone. And I guess my question is, so the only person that really can undo any of that is Ryland.
Yeah, if Ryland came to me tomorrow and said, Mom, I made a big mistake, I was wrong, I highly doubt that happening, but I've heard many cases where kids, you know, some kids don't identify as completely male or as completely female, and we've been really lucky. Ryland has gone cleanly from the girl box to the boy box, and he has not wavered one day since we've addressed him as a boy. So, I mean, if Ryland did come up to me and say, I made a mistake, we could easily undo things. So I just think people are very confused about thinking that we've done some surgery or we've, you know, given Ryland something that's irreversible. And really at this point, there hasn't been anything harmful or damaging that's been done.
What do we know about in the cognition and the learning of a child about Ryland's capacity to make the decision or to fully understand what is happening that you've just described? Meaning, are kids capable of saying and understanding their own sexuality to say, okay, I did make a mistake?
Well, right now we're not dealing with any sexuality. We have no idea who Ryland will be attracted to one day. Gender identity and sexuality are very commonly confused. Gender identity is completely different than a child's sexuality. And if anyone does the research, they'll find that gender identity comes out in children between the ages of 2 and 5 years old. I had no idea that there was a difference between gender identity and sexual orientation, but I learned very quickly that this wasn't an issue for me as a child because my gender identity aligned with the body I was born in. But if you talk to any transgender adult, many of them will tell you that they knew that they were a different gender than the body they were born in as young as Ryland's age, if not younger. You know, many people don't understand this because their children align with the body they're born in. And because of the road that we've traveled, I've done a lot of research and come to find out this is true. Children's identity is developed between 3 and 5 years old, so this is not too early to know.
Okay, not too early for them to know, perhaps, and for it to be innate. But to have what I would think to be the very mature discussion with the two of you of what gender they identify with and if they have or have not made a mistake and how they feel about that. What do we know about the cognition? I understand the fact that this comes about at this time in a child's development. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking almost more psychologically and in a mature sense. Does the child then have the maturity to sort of look at themselves and say, yes, this is to look within and say, yes, this is who I am. I have or have not made a mistake in the gender that I have chosen.
Well, you just look at the child and their environment. I mean, is Ryland happier now? I mean, he was showing signs before of being in distress where you just have to observe a child to see if they're happy. And at this point, the difference in Ryland between before transition and now, Ryland has relaxed as a person. Ryland is much calmer, happier, just at peace with himself. And, you know, for any parent out there, I think, well, at least for me, I knew my child very, very well, and I could see that there was pain and shame going on underneath his expression of being a boy, and that was a bad sign. That children should not be ashamed of who they are, or you know, and so I don't know. I just feel like people can... they can dispute what's going on here all they want, but the truth of the matter is I know my child best, and when we allowed Ryland to be seen as a boy, his entire personality changed. He just, like I said, relaxed and was happier. So if I start to notice signs that Ryland isn't happy again and that there's something going on, then it's my job as a parent to get to the bottom of it and find out okay, what's going on now? It's all about communication, in my opinion.
Yeah, I understand. So basically your point is, and it's well taken, that the same signs that you realized that Rylan was identifying as a boy would be the same signs that he was no longer identifying that way.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the realistic stuff like school and how you work with them and make this comfortable for Rylan, make this comfortable for the school and for the other kids attending that institution.
You know, when Rylan first transitioned, he was at another school, another elementary school in the area in a transitional kindergarten program, which is kind of like a preschool program here. And I'll be honest with you, this was 3 years ago. There was very little in the media or online about transgender children. It was a really scary thing for us to transition Rylan in the middle of his pre-kindergarten school year. But at the same time, we were advised by medical professionals that if we waited till the summertime to transition Rylan and have him come back as a boy, that would actually be further detrimental to his emotional well-being. So we had to tackle this head on. And so what I did, there was no roadmap or guidebook to how to do this. We set a meeting with the superintendent and the psychologist and Rylan's teacher. We told them what was going on. We said, we don't know how quickly this is going to happen, but this is what's happening. And it was in a matter of days that Rylan wanted his hair cut. So we had to explain to everyone around us why our long-haired daughter in tomboy clothes was now going to be called our son with a short haircut and really looked like a little boy now. So I sent out a very brief letter to the parents in the classroom because I figured that their kids would come home with questions. And I got mostly a positive response. I got a negative response from a couple. But really, there was nothing else I could do. I had to just tackle it straight on and just communicate to everybody what was happening.
And again, as far as the realities of going to school. So boys' room or girls' room?
Right.
Boys' locker room, girls' locker room. And they make those decisions? You make those decisions? Or how does that work?
Well, Rylan, at the time we were lucky, he was in a kindergarten-type class, so they just covered up the girls' and the boys' bathroom sign, and it was a single-room bathroom anyway, so that made it really easy for Rylan to fly under the radar, I guess you could say, when it came to the restrooms. I know that he started at his new school year as a boy at a new school, so it was never a question whether he would use the boys' or the girls' bathroom. He automatically goes into the boys' bathroom, and I've coached him. I said, Rylan, you go straight into the boys' bathroom. You go into the stall. You lock it. You do not talk to anybody. You do your business. You wash your hands. You get out. And so he knows that he goes into that restroom to relieve himself, and that's it. I don't know about anyone else out there, but I use the restroom to relieve myself, and I feel like people are so caught up on this restroom issue when the transgender people, as well as everyone else, just goes in there to privately relieve themselves. There's really no issue.
It would seem to me that there could be, and you've indicated this, that there would be an issue with other parents, I guess that is what you have to navigate, and I assume you have been navigating that.
Yeah, I mean, if their kid is peeking under the stall and looking at my kid's genitals, we have a problem. Rylan's not flaunting anything. He's just as concerned about his privacy, actually more concerned about his privacy than anyone else out there. But I can guarantee you that it would raise more eyebrows if he were to walk into a girl's bathroom right now than if he were to walk into a boy's bathroom. So, you know, it's just funny to me because we can't check what's in everyone's pants before they use the restroom. And frankly, who cares? I mean, what does it matter? My kid doesn't want to see your kid's genitals just as much as you don't want to see mine. You know, it's just frustrating because I feel like this has become a huge issue and it's really a non-issue.
Do you feel that it becomes more of an issue as sexual interest grows in children who are of course,
no,
sexually curious?
No, because think about it. What about the gay kids in the school right now? You don't know which kids are gay and which kids are straight. So are you going to complain if a gay kid uses a boy's bathroom? And, you know, like, who cares? It's not, it has nothing to do with sexuality. It's a bathroom.
My initial question to you is, but who ultimately makes the decision? Is it the school? And then and the school has been, from what I'm hearing from you, the school has been supportive of...
Legally, they have to be supportive. We live in California where we have AB 1266, which is a statewide law that protects transgender children so that they can use the restroom and locker rooms that they identify with. Thank God we have that in place, because many states do not have that law. And, you know, even with that protection, we're still finding that parents are coming out, most of them who have not educated themselves or come from very strong religious backgrounds, not to be general, but that are coming out of fear. They don't want their kids dressing next to a transgender kid. Mm. Whatever. You know, I get the fear, because it's the fear of the unknown. But if these people would just take time to get to know that these children want privacy just as much as their children want privacy, they'll understand that this doesn't have to be a big deal.
Because that was ultimately where I was going with the question, is that where you are, you have a law that protects you. There are many states in this country where that law does not protect you. And
right.
And so this is an ongoing discussion. And as I said very early on in our conversation, all of this is kind of unfolding and is moving as you are going through it.
Correct. Yep. And it's constant. My inbox is constantly, you know, showing me different states that are fighting over this issue, and luckily we're in a state that we're protected. But again, anyone could come out of anywhere at any given time and throw a fit about it, and we know that.
The name of the book is Raising Ryland, Our Story of Parenting a Transgender Child with No Strings Attached. The book is published by William Morrow. Hillary Whittington, thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for the discussion. Again, the title of the book is Raising Ryland, Our Story of Parenting a Transgender Child with No Strings Attached. It is published by Morrow. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.